almost, I thought I was going to be trapped in there. And a chemical and so put the fire, suppressed the fire enough that we could control it. But we did a lot of...
Was that the people that had the hog farm up there? Because they had a fire, say that later, they had a fire...
Where they had all their garden and stuff. Had a big one in there.
I think I remember that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know what year it was. But what year, now that you built the fire hall, I remember that too.
Yeah, you see, we built the fire hall by donations. Uncle Bill and Fred Savitt and I signed personal notes to, for a loan.
That was the fire hall that was...
That is there now.
That's there now.
Block construction.
Then all the firemen then went in and donated their, Wilbur says he wonders how many bottle caps are there. But they put in that, all that block building and built it.
That was what year?
It was after we were married, so it was after 45. But they all donated, they got $1 an hour when they fought fire. And so that's what they donated then to build the fire hall. Of course, we were paying more than that for help at that time.
Now, before that, they just used the lean-to on the city hall. That was for
that's
that.
All, yeah, two of them. They had two lean-to.
That's right.
Wait, to go back to the first truck they bought, you said something about Federal. Was it called a Federal?
Federal truck, yeah, it was a little truck there.
That's interesting.
Then there were a bigger truck and low slung.
And after the war, they bought the one that became the ambulance. They bought a...
Cadillac.
It was what had been used in the war, is that right?
No, I don't know what's that.
Oh, maybe I'm wrong on that.
So, then that when was Bill one. Made the, Bill Mongrel made the chief?
Right
from the very beginning.
Right up to the time that Walt Horstman came down.
Horstman?
Yeah.
And then was he paid right from the very beginning?
No.
Oh, he was still volunteer?
Yeah. Oh, at the start.
Okay.
He was volunteer. We didn't get, until we established the district, we circulated petitions, I think about 37, 38, 39, for the establishment of the fire district.
It was more than that. It was 45.
Was it? Well, it was... I don't know, but fire department get more efficient all the time, and then when we made some great saves, we then went out and formed the district.
Mm-hmm.
And I circulated one petition, and only had one denial of the story of one of the prominent people, and they wouldn't sign it, because it wasn't going to tax him anymore, and his was the first barn in Colorado.
Oh, my God.
And we saved it. But, I have quite a story, but I won't mention names.
Oh gosh, that's what makes the book fun.
Yeah. That was all volunteer firemen.
Yeah, and all the construction, and all the purchases, and all that up till I think we used to include that note. All of it was by benefits. Dances.
Yeah.
Two a year. Two dances a year.
The second Saturday in November was a farmer's ball.
Now where would they have the ball?
That was a big
school. Where would they have
the great school? All the other groups, PTA, and I can't remember who all the others were, but I remember PTA had two, I think, a year, and our 4-H club would have.
Dances,
yeah. Have a dance to make money to buy clippers to clip their animals.
Mm-hmm. What music did they use for dance?
Woody Hyde.
Oh,
did they really?
Well,
Woody Hyde was one of them. And, then there was another.
Big stuff now.
Yeah, they were just.
Well, they were local.
I got a ticket here someplace where we what was it? 1934, I think.
It would be nice to show a picture
of
that ticket.
I'll try to find another around someplace.
So all the fire trucks and all the equipment was paid for by benefits?
Yeah.
Okay, and donations.
Up to a point, yeah, I don't know where the break point was, but after the district, I think we then started paying for for a firefighter.
Mm-hmm,
but all that time, we never had any insurance. If I had fallen off the building,
no, we've been on your own.
Yeah.
Well, well, what about the first use case? Are you talking about the first aid car?
That was all by benefits.
Contributions. People gave contributions for the first aid car.
And that really served the purpose in the community for many years.
That was the only one for years.
And I know that the Clutchcraw Fire Department saved John Dixon.
Oh,
that one. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. There were three kids in that class.
Let's see, there was John Dixon and
Becker.
Bob.
Oh, wasn't it
Ron Salzer?
Ron was there.
And what was the Becker's name? Kid's name?
I don't know. But you know what? I was down here bailing.
Oh.
And they missed the corner down here by the.
Oh.
And they were upside down in the ditch. And the fellow was with me, and we took off in his pickup and got down there, and then they were holding John's head out of the water so to keep him from drowning.
Ron was setting up the bridge
on the bank, and I didn't recognize any of them. I didn't know. I was in such shock.
Oh.
But their faces were covered with mud.
Oh yeah, he looked just like an eagle, and his kinky hair. And the one kid was all right, but he's just sitting up on the bank, Becker.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and got the first aid, told him to bring the first aid car, and made arrangements down at the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Told him who he was, the son of...
Well, she called him.
Dixon, mm-hmm. I did too.
Mm-hmm.
And...
what hospital did him bring in?
Good Sam.
Oh, I see.
And when they pulled in,
Donna had worked there for years.
Oh, yeah.
When they pulled in there, she, they took her in, and there was no sign of life. And they woke him up, and they said he was gone, and they said, "Well, go for it." And they did. He was smashed up so bad, he could have put he'd put any place on his body. Just everything was just smashed. And the next day I went in there, and you couldn't believe it. He'd come, he knew me and talked to me.
Mm-hmm.
He'd put a rod up the center of
his legs.
Leg.
Mm-hmm.
And they put his blood right directly into it, and without it, it would
be his veins.
So that was one extra few
days. Yeah.
You bet.
Well, now, there used to be benefits for other things, too, if anybody had trouble in the community.
Oh, yeah, some hardwood floor. The hardwood floor and the grade school gym was all by benefit. That was not tax money.
Uh-huh.
That was all done...
The present school gym?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then there was two benefits. One was
Laird. The Fessler girl.
Laird and Fessler.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. I hear Laird's not doing well. Laird and Michael's is got flu.
What is their connection to putting some more?
They did the community benefit because Ann Laird had kidneys.
She was one of the first that that was on a kidney dialysis.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm. She was one of the, and she was
yeah.
she was a local girl, and then she was also the teacher at the school.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so that was a very large benefit, and I think that was about 66.
Mm-hmm.
Or, I think it was either 66 or 67.
Mm-hmm.
And it went all day. I don't know what time it started.
Now, what did they do?
They had food.
They had,
I'm sure we were there.
Contributed all sorts of things that were sold.
Oh, yeah, there was a sale.
And it went until midnight or 1 or 2 o'clock.
Yeah, and they had hamburgers and hot dogs. And, oh, yeah, that was big. I think they made something over 4,000,
remember?
Oh, I don't remember.
I don't know what it was, but it was substantial, yeah.
And the same thing for the Festival of Only, maybe not quite as big.
I don't remember that one.
She had leukemia or something.
She had leukemia.
She died.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Like I said, that's when people come together and take care of their own instead of expecting the government to do it for them.
Yeah, and the community together too.
Well, and it was wonderful. Whether people knew her or not, why, because the drivers were new at that time, and I remember them being
there. Had a great time at the benefit.
The last thing like that was Mrs. Jones, the Jones lived across from us for the day, that her house was then dismantled because it was in the Village Square area. Jones, and what was her name? Anyhow, a woman was killed. Yeah. A woman was killed, not killed. She was badly injured driving into the farmhouse apartments area, pulling out of there or something, and she got rammed somehow. And terribly, terribly injured. And so she had no coverage, whatever. I remember Mrs. Jones mounted an effort there to get money there for her. That's the last kind of case of that. Now we don't hear
something. No, I don't even know anybody from town.
No. Now they just expect the government to take care of it.
Back to the fire department thing, I remember when Herb was a volunteer fireman, and so you can expand on this, people would just be at home or whatever, and there'd be a fire alarm or fire, and they would ring a siren that could be heard, I guess, and they'd all come and they'd be down there within a shot. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they used to ring that, they had curfew too, that was what? But in the summer, I think it was later, to be for sure that siren would work. They had curfew, so it served two purposes.
No, that was a great accomplishment. I think that had a bunch of community together and gave the people an opportunity to be leaders, and you take the good old standbys, and then of course the paid people, they just open it up for jobs for a lot of the fellows that donated their time before. And it was quite productive.
You bet it was.
I think we kind of set a pattern for the rest of them.
Well, it's kind of nice that now, and as it then for after they formed the district, there was a certain area that they covered. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of nice that they retained the name like this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You bet.
Yeah. It's such a complicated setup now. It all grew up from that old kind of an idea back in the 1930s.
I hope you have some pictures of that old City Hall with that.
Somewhere, I think.
Well, I don't remember the pictures of the City Hall, but do you have some?
Well, I can remember the people with the lean to.
Yeah,
all the men that was in the new building.
Yeah. No, that was what lean to. Yeah, they sat on the truck.
The lean to was on the.
Yeah.
Well, no, there were two rows of men. I'm sure it's not in front
that
of
would have, that would
front
be
of
the new building.
Yeah, in front of the truck.
And yeah, well, that was the old one. That was the lean to. Right by the church shop.
Yeah. Where is that picture?
I don't know.
If you haven't got a Ruby's, Sarah's got, you got mine, and I got a lot of those, mine, but I can't find mine. I think it's gone. Somebody involved it.
Yeah. Well, tell us about your role in government, Clayton.
Yeah.
That goes back a long time, of course. My dad said, don't do it. Well, I started out, I think, in 4-H, and I was beginning there. And then I was on, I got involved with the Washington County Fair Board for 5 years, and served in that capacity in the move from Chute Park out to this present site now, which is now almost called the PI building.
We
fought hard to maintain ownership of that so that somebody else can take the part of Portland trying to get it away from it. We managed to retain it. So that, I think, was a building block of the community and getting that established and getting it into a position where it would be an entity for a long, long time. It would be an asset. Then on the basis of my participation there in 4-H and with the Fair Board, two county commissioners came to me and asked me if I would serve, and I'd just come off of a fire, and I'd been out working hard, and I was on the fire truck and passed all these houses and saw the people sitting around doing nothing. I thought, well, that'd be quite a life. I think I'll join the fire department and so on. And, take it easy for a while.
You mean the commission
that
they came and asked One of the men who'd been a commissioner for, what, 24 years,
yeah,
wanted to retire, and he didn't want to let people know that he was going to retire until he had found someone that he thought would be able to handle the situation. And so they came, and it was either two or three weeks to decide whether or not
we
should do that.
When I finally decided to go with them, of course, we entered into a campaign in an area that was totally foreign, because I knew many, many people in key spots of the county because of my participation in 4-H. And I was successful in the election in 1957. I took office. I was 56, 57, I took office. And zoning was a big issue at that time, and I voted against it every time it would come up, because I didn't think I wanted anybody to control it. But then I got into office, and my first conference was in San Francisco, and planning was the first conference.
Okay.
You know, kind of breaking the
Yes, it was.
Okay. And so we got involved, and that was my mainstay and my main thrust as county commissioner, realizing the necessity of coordination, cooperation between agencies. Came back home and went to work, and we got the Tarleton Hills zoning district was declared unconstitutional, and I came to the Board of County Commissioners to take over. So I took that on as a challenge and took it right through, and was able to put together the original comprehensive plan for Washington County, and got much of it in shape. Then on the basis of my participation there, I was appointed to the Metropolitan Planning Commission, the Metropolitan Transportation, Frank County, or Metropolitan. What do you call it? Vancouver, Portland.
Craig.
No.
Mm-hmm.
No. Metropolitan Transportation, anyhow, it was 13 agencies joined together for the plan for the total metropolitan area for highway.
Not Metropolitan Service District.
No. That would have been the Metropolitan Planning Commission. Which, Metropolitan Planning Commission later became Craig, and Craig then became Metropolitan Service District.
Mm-hmm.
But we did this study on the metropolitan area and set up the plans for all the zoning for Washington, Clackamas, and Multnomah County. And we had a special commission that worked on that and hired their own technician.
Studied.
And accomplished that. It's pleasing now to see the map now being built on, just like we anticipated.
Mm-hmm.
So it's then I worked on the sewage agency for 6 years. Pollution was so bad in the Crown Creek, and I headed up that. I represented Washington County, the mayors of the cities or delegates from the city, and developing plan for sewage support in Washington County. And that was functioning. We wouldn't have seen the growth here if that hadn't happened. So that's... Then I was also involved in burning garbage dumps throughout the county. And we were one of the first ones that had an ordinance to stop burning and coordinated the effort for solid waste disposal. I served on a committee, a national committee of 30 members on solid waste disposal in the United States, mm-hmm, to set up a policy for all government agencies in the program, and set up the policy and got it adopted by that committee, and the guidelines are still in effect, and of course we're doing the best work for it. I attend the Clean Air Conference. The first Planning Commission, Planning Conference. Second was the Clean Air, third was Clean Water, Solid Waste, city county consolidation. These were all first in the United States.
I see. I was going to say that that's, you know, pioneered in those.
That was starting back in what that's year was the first one?
57.
57.
We adopted our first ordinance in Washington County in 59. First area, and then the second area was about 60 when it came down this area.
And then on the road situation, you worked on the road?
OMC, Orange California Land Grant, I was on that committee the entire time, representing Washington County, and that was in the roads, the service, the OMC lands, and the marketing of timber.
What is that, Reagan and California
Land Grant? Yeah, that's the Southern Pacific, where you had the odd numbered lots on each side of the center line that people could get to buy, and then that was for developing the railroads.
That's what appears on the Missouri Land Grant, that's the ONC,
yeah. And you see in Washington County, about 0.58% is all that we get with the total, because we had such tillable land that it was all taken up, so we didn't have any government land that would get reimbursed.
Sure.
In Washington County, I forget the figures now, but over 80%, over 90% of Washington County is tillable, and 90% of it is private ownership. Now it's changing fast with the government agencies taking over the wetlands and everything else. But there's no other county in the state of Oregon under 50%.
That has more than 50%.
So, yeah, let's see.
In private ownership.
What else did I do? I did something else.
Oh, you did 217.
Yeah, in the highway 217, I coordinated. Well, it was a publication, it was an notice to the Board of County Commissioners that they were going to hook in on a road from Sunset to this to Hillsville. And I said, no way, and I appeared before the State Highway Department and suggested it would be run from Sunset to I-5. And I had a little problem there with one member of the commission, so two of us got Beaverton to get involved, and we had a committee that we worked through down at Beaverton. And we kept that quiet. There was no transfer of land at all. They didn't know what we were doing. And that whole line was established, I think there were only 8 homes on that whole line, from the Sunset clear down to I-5, and got that. And that was only going to be an expressway, because we couldn't justify a freeway. Now, of course, it's all freeway. And so it's not near enough yet.
Yeah. There were only 8 houses that had to be moved in that it was kept quiet so that...
Well, the bigger thing was...
To get it done before, because they were ready to build, like Safeway was ready to build over there.
The biggest thing that that did, though, was to keep it across your land. And when you want to establish your corridor, you didn't have this swamp and the big company. It was like where we are, we didn't know that was available. But those guys, it's just slick, just swamp it. And then when they come to buy, they have their sales there all up and down that line. And I think we had around $600,000 that we had in funds that we couldn't match, that the state had, and we released them so that they could buy right away. And they went in and bought as much right away as could, matched it with theirs, and bought as much as they could. And look at how fast we put that thing in.
What's the difference between a freeway and expressway?
Expressway, you can come in, you can have it without running across the highway, just come along to the highway.
But
a freeway, there's no coming on other than no grade crossing.
Right.
See,
right.
It would have been, well, you see, Denny, that grade crossing is there.
Yeah.
And same with Allen and Gilchrist.
Well, you were county judge too, weren't you?
I was elected county judge in 19...
Were you 4 years as judge?
Well,
you served until... You were out in January 69.
Yeah. 64, I think. was county
judge. So that was juvenile
for,
judge.
For 7 months.
They, you what?
Yeah, I was county judge for 7 months. Uh-huh. And that was taking care of the juvenile. I was a juvenile judge.
Mm-hmm.
So they raked it out and then eliminated the job. For eliminated position, but the, under the Oregon statute, the judicial officer cannot they cannot change a, mm-hmm. A position. So then I, that way I stayed on as county judge for a 6 year period.
Well, four year period.
No, 6. I was here for 6 years as county judge.
Oh, okay. You were elected as judge. Yeah,
yeah,
that's right. So they couldn't change
the
it after he was elected
no.
judge. They couldn't change the. They couldn't demote him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he was full time all the time he was there. That was when they changed to county.
I think anything else.
Well, you were in the legislature, weren't you?
Yeah, and I can't think of anything more that I did there. I was. Mm-hmm. Or we developed the comprehensive plan for utilities. We did a utility study and cooperation between the city and the county. And then, of course, on the Metropolitan, Portland, Vancouver Metropolitan Transportation Study Committee, 13 jurisdictions, we developed the road plan for the whole metropolitan area and 205. We held the hearings, mm-hmm. we made the recommendation 205 and held a hearing and developed that corridor. And then we developed all the other corridors, mm-hmm. but they don't go back and look at it. They're mm-hmm. there, but they just...
They're coming up front.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then in 1969, 70, I ran in 1970.
You served in the legislature starting in 71.
Mm-hmm. I was elected in 70 in the legislature and served there. Only one other thing, while I was county commissioner, we were on the land we got involved in, and that was the Veteran Taxation Committee of the National Association of Counties, and I was vice chairman of that in the United States, and we were dealing with tax-free bonds and programs that were for all kinds of projects, and that was a real challenge, and it was something that we worked on. Tennessee Valley Authority had tax-free bonds, and they were misusing them, and they were getting out of hand. City of Tualatin at that time was going to have an inland port so that they could get revenue bonds. Mm-hmm. Develop, and I said no way, and we got limitations on how much that they could get, but now it's all broken up again, broken apart. I don't know how they're controlling it. We've got so many different ways that they have development funds and lottery funds and revenue bonds and revenue bonds that they sell and work off the interest, and so it's pretty hard to say what was accomplished, but I felt honored to get on that position. And senator from Kentucky, he was the chairman at that time. If I'd been elected in 69, I would have been chairman of the National Service mm-hmm. Committee. Mm-hmm. So I would claim that some pretty outstanding people.
Yeah.
I remember I had to be the coordinator for a panel, and that was something to be involved in.
Okay.
But their activities and people that brought this information to the National Association. I served on the Welfare Committee for that team. Planning Conference.
And for the aging, yeah.
Yeah, that came later. But
yeah.
In the legislature, of course, I was a freshman legislator in 1971. And I was the authority on a local club for the house. And I had, it was more fun. And I had served on the Revenue Taxation Committee there. But the Speaker of the House appointed me as a representative of the legislature on the, what do you call it, land use,
Speaker of the House at that time was Bob Smith, but I just showed you the picture.
Oh, what's the name of that planning?
LCDC.
Yeah. It was LCDC. It was a plan to show the next legislature why it was necessary that they have some control on the agriculture. Nothing to take care of agriculture. Mm.
It wasn't LCDC.
No.
Not at that time.
Not at that time. It was
developed into LCDC.
Land conservation.
Land development. Anyhow. I represented the House side, and we developed a plan, and that Project Foresight, which looked into the future. What got me disturbed was to go into Bend and Deschutes County and some Coos County. The streets wouldn't match up, and they were just letting everything go, letting go, jump out there 5-10 miles and build a little city, and so. Something had to be done, but they overstepped the bounds, they'll swing back.
I think so.
Which it is, yeah.
It is. Yeah, yeah. I think
it was the Senate Bill 100.
Yeah, yeah. But some people just are very unhappy there.
Oh, yeah.
Like some people can't even divide off a little place for their kids and build a house.
Yeah. That's the problem is when you do that, then you have obligate to all your facilities, your public agencies, your schools,
water,
fire, water,
streets,
and all that.
Sewage. Water, sewage is a big thing.
Well, it's really I think LCDC is a good thing if you're not doing it on property. You know. But I really think it should pay.
Well, and then while you were in the legislature.
All these little causes, little people as this and not coordinated with anybody else, like the wetlands and the estuaries, all these different projects that they're now setting aside, and there's really no uniform application. If somebody gets a thought and wants to go, it just disrupts everything and pretty much blocks you out to get things accomplished. And you're beginning to see some real problems developing. I think we're going to see. But these are things that you have to fight your way through. And when I was in office, the things that I did there, it was all based on testimony. There was nothing. They had to change my mind. Mm-hmm. And I could see the necessity, just like the sewer. Mm-hmm. They talk about the Fall River being polluted and algae. Well, it will be there forever. There's no way in the world they ever take the algae on the Fall River. Because when you've got 33 miles of rivers here, meandering its way up to Twin Oaks, and 13 straight air miles, and all this stuff coming down and 4-foot fall in that section of the river, there's no way that you're ever going to get the algae out of that because there's not enough water flow. I told about when we start out with the peppermint. There's a spring over there that there's no way that there was any pollution. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. It's absolutely pure. It's our drinking water. We drank it in a kettle and put it in the well to hold it during the summertime. There's no way. But that pond has always had algae that deep on it. Unless the ducks come in and clean it off. But when it's stagnant like that, there's no way in the world. And you take ground deep down. It's the same way. You go down one of those tributaries, and the water's just as clear as it could be until you get into the pool. Mm-hmm. And once you get into the pools, and of course a lot of phosphates come in off the potato fields and alfalfa fields and all those. So, when they once recognized, and they're now talking about the wetlands and the bird sanctuary out at the south of Hillsborough. Well, they didn't listen to me because I had told them a long time ago that that's what they should be developing, a place to get rid of all that sewage water. The only way that they could get rid of it was out to that lagoon system. But now they're really doing a job up there, I guess, on that piece of land.
Well, Clay, we didn't talk about 4-H much, and we really need to talk about that, because how did you get started in 4-H? Was it because your father worked in Hillsborough?
Oh, no. No. It was Bill Cyrus came down and told us, spoke to the troops.
Who's Bill Cyrus?
He's county extension agent.
Extension agent? Oh, a county agent.
No, I don't remember that name.
Now,
C-Y-R-U-S?
C-Y-R-U-S.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And we listened to him, and
did he speak at the school?
Yeah.
Oh.
In the sixth, seventh, and eighth grade, and that's where a bunch of us were, and we decided we'd do it, and we did
sixth,
it.
Sixth
and
eighth grade.
And Paul Ames, and Gerald Avery, and Ed Blank, and I don't know who else involved.
Avery?
Yeah.
Was in charge?
No, he was the leader.
Oh, Walt Ames it? And Gerald Avery and who else?
Walt Ames. Oh, Walt Ames, Walt's father.
Yeah.
Walt's dad, yeah. Walt John's dad.
And Gerald. I don't remember. And then I took over. They got tired of it. And then I took over and I left all the 4-H clubs in from then on out.
Remember you had poultry, I think.
Yeah.
When I had it. I remember going to the county
fair
and
had
some chickens.
Oh.
And you remember
doing that. Yeah, we had poultry, and Gerald Avery gave everybody, I think, 25 chicks. Oh, gee, what a contribution.
Well, that is something, you know.
Yeah, 25 I thought it was
chicks.
Great.
A nice little
box. We got everybody started. And he, of course, we kind of did all right. This community did real well over the years. The people that were involved.
Did you say Blank?
Ed
Blank,
that's
who it was, yeah.
Yeah, he and Don, I think Don was still alive. Mm-hmm. Well, that was a great bunch of people.
And then what kind of, besides poultry, what other clubs did the poultry last time?
We had anything you want to mention. We had dairy and bakes and poultry. And of course, we had all the judging team. We had benefits, and I think one year we sent 12 4-H's down to summer school. Mm-hmm. We had benefit, I know really high played for that, for those guys, some of them.
I went down to summer school.
Did you?
When I was 13.
I did too, and it made all the difference in my life.
Yeah,
we
were at Oregon State City Dormitory. I mean, yeah. I got fraternity houses.
If I'd met Larry, I know I would have gone to college already.
Yeah.
But
well,
it really made a difference.
Yeah, it's a lovely
experience.
Mm-hmm. Do they have that still?
Yeah, oh yeah. And now they got their own facility. North of Salem and west.
But they still have summer school at Carvel. Yeah. They still have, but it's only about a week, and it's quite expensive.
It was 2 weeks, wasn't it?
Yeah. And we went down with train or bus down.
The first year I went was by train, and the first year I went was 35.
Mm.
And that was the year I met Walter John.
Oh, really? And that's what your connection to the magic.
And then that was in June, and then, of course, at the fair, then I met Clayton.
I see.
That was in 35.
So you knew each other for that long before you got married?
Well, I'll tell you, those fair romances.
Yeah, there's something at least away from
home. Oh, there is. It's terribly romantic.
And of course, we went to PI and State Fair. And we were always counted when it came time to vote, I mean, to judge the contest. We were always right in there. So.
Well, and then when we, in those days, there was the dorm. And one side was the boys, and the other side was the girls, and they were first double-deckers, and then they got so there were three-deckers high. And then one side downstairs was, well, I remember having style review on that side, and they'd have various things going on at that side, I think, but...
You mean you're talking about the summer school or at the fair?
This is the state fair.
Oh.
And then the other side was where it was the restaurant. And mostly we had, I don't know what kind of meat, but I know Clayton always felt they were adequately fed because there would be plenty of potatoes and applesauce.
Lots of gravy. Lots of gravy and applesauce.
Yeah, yeah.
And so if we did something like a judging team or a style review or a bread baking or a demonstration of that, we get to stay 2 days down there. We get our board and room for 2 days and we could spend a night. Well, so that was, so we made friends because we were there long enough, and there were others that were there long enough. And they would have dances in that room that was on the side in the evening. So you got to know the other ones throughout the state that were there. And as well, we still, many of those people are still our friends.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we, of course, we have vegetables, chilled vegetables.
Oh, yeah. And what were, yeah.
Corn, yes, that was probably why you got started raising hybrid seed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was probably from the corn club. And they used to have a corn exhibit, I remember, at the bank at Hillsborough.
Yeah, that was
in
special
the fall.
Corn show. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Special rules, right? Yeah. That was a highly competitive. The U.S. Bank sponsored it. I think I won that one also.
Won quite often.
Did you know when I baked bread today?
Yes,
bread
I did.
Yeah, I baked bread and cream cupcakes too this morning. Kenny taught me how to bake bread.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, the cat followed me in. First thing I saw it, I got her out. Got that after. Oh, boy, she was...
Oh, she would have devoured your bread. Well, I'll tell you, Lois surpassed me in baking bread.
That is saying something.
Well,
she did. My mother, too.
Oh, yes.
She's a pretty good dentist. Yeah.
But she, I remember when you got first in open class in the state. I've never forgotten that.
Really?
And she was baking bread, and so she decided she'd in her open class.
I'd rather be easier to win an open class than in
4-H.
But my bread, well, I just had a special touch with bread, with the yeast. I just loved working with it.
Mm.
But in sewing, I was terrible. A lazy, the word is lazy.
Yeah.
Well, this is what I say with my painting. People will say, I can't do it. I said, lots of people that I know that sew. I said, you sew, you could paint.
Mm-hmm.
All it takes is patience.
Mm-hmm. No.
I wanted to ask about the school in the old days, too. I'd like to get as much of it is just kind of anecdotes, kind of remembrances of, you know, offbeat things, maybe, that are just colorful. Now school, you went through first grade through high school up here.
Yeah, on the one side,
fourth
grade through
right,
there.
Right, on the one side, yeah.
And Christian grades, of course, were in the old gym off the
room off the back, yeah.
And that's where we had the first teacher that we got legal in because it was competitive, but there were two of us, Henry Allman and myself.
Oh, yeah.
And we had contests for vocabulary and spelling, and it was highly competitive. We had so many books. We got a Hershey bar for books that we read. I didn't get fat, but I helped out a lot. I enjoyed reading, and she was a great teacher.
Can you remember the teacher's name?
Horsnagel.
Oh,
okay. And
what grades did this have been?
First and second.
Oh, I see.
Then we went in. Second time, third, fourth, and fifth grade. And the advantage there was the person was always challenged because if you were in the same room with the rest of the classes, so you were right on top of them.
Mm-hmm.
Then sixth, seventh, and eighth was the same thing. And you had your teacher there, and you were constantly challenged by the classes. And you then got into high school and different groups. There was no challenge. He went over to Milwaukee. He went to Cushman.
Henry Oman was there this last year for the class reunion.
Right.
And he came here first, and he is an engineer, is that right?
Yeah, he's worked with lasers since we ever since.
Now, high school is two rooms upstairs.
Yes.
Now, you didn't think high school amounted too much?
Well, it was a challenge. And of course, when I had free time, I must have harassed the teachers because I'd let a riot, I think, concerning some special treatment a student got. Got in that kind of involvement. But it was great.
Did Henry Oman go to the high school
there? He went to Milwaukee. Vegetable garden over there. He was really talking about space and laser beam as weapons and that. He lectures all over the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he wrote a paper and he gave me a copy of it.
The school here was...
How was the school set up? It was just an independent of itself school, grade school and high school. It wasn't part of a larger district.
It was just 12 school districts.
So it had a grade school, just an overall principal, or there was a superintendent?
Yeah,
Krauss was superintendent,
but
just of the
principal,
school?
Principal, okay. Yeah, he was kind of superintendent.
Oh, okay, I see. But he was principal here first, was he?
Yeah.
I see.
And of course, the first one split off was Tiger. That was 1928, I think, the day it opened up over there.
Oh. And we split up before that day had been come
the high
here?
School.
High school.
Had come here.
Built a school.
They built a school over there, so they took part of the students
over there.
So 12 and Sherwood together. Then in 1936, then they terminated the 12 school and went to Sherwood.
Right.
Yep. And Wilburn and Willis went to Tiger.
Uh-huh.
And then we had to pay tuition over there for a couple of years, but then it was optional there later.
Yeah.
And then that's how the entire school district expanded in equality.
So you graduated down here about
36?
36.
Last graduating
class.
I talked to Davinian the other day asking if he was going to be in trouble getting a new high school named Claude, and he didn't think so. Mm-hmm. But we'd better watch it.
Mm-hmm. That's what it should be.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would make sense.
But it was a good school, and I enjoyed it.
Now, do you remember my first grade teacher, first and second grade, was Mrs. Miller, and so she lived in a little house across the road down here.
Yeah, that little house you're talking about, whose house was that when you were a kid? Remember that little tiny house?
Bill Sager's place.
Oh, it was.
Well, that was Bill Sager's place?
Yeah, there was one down there, that little house.
Yeah.
That was next door here.
Mm-hmm. I remember the Zwack family lived there when I was going to grade school, and there was a great big bunch of kids. And he worked right down here, the little one
with the poplar trees.
Yeah, it just went down a few years ago. Really.
For this place.
Was that wasn't on Solis?
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah. Yeah, Bill was there. Bill Heaven was there. Maybe the old folks went up on the hill.
Okay. So Anderson's, that's when Anderson's built that building, is that right?
Yeah.
That they filled that in?
Yeah.
Because there was a well there, I remember.
No, this guy put the well in.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Who did, Clayton?
These people here.
Oh, well that house was there until just not too long ago.
Yeah, it was just a couple issues ago.
Yeah.
Well, I thought that was filled in quite a few years ago.
No, okay. I told them, I told them that was a well. And they thanked me for it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Could have been dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Like along those poplars.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that to me is when we were, well, for many years here, when we were first married, we had chickens. And when I think of all these places around here that did also.
Had chickens, remember? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
everybody had chickens and had cows.
And there was the Milton's, They had a few, and then they expanded and got larger and larger, and they had a lot of chickens at the time, but he died. And here was Hinderman's had chickens, and Saggart's, and Bassler's, and Avery's, and there were so many small farms, and they were adequate for making a living for people. And it seems, and then it seemed a shame that then as things got larger and larger, and when we heard that somebody was putting in, that we're putting in, you know, like 25,000 in here. Well, we had just a small flock, and that wasn't our complete livelihood, but it saved me from working outside the home. Mm-hmm. And,
what about 25,000 what? Being people?
Then, now, they have, then they started that you heard that, you know, these big companies were going to put in.
But so when you're raising chickens, you have what, like maybe 100 laying hens, 300 laying hens? And where did you sell your eggs?
Piggly Wiggly, I got so that I sold them direct. I kenneled and graded them and took them directly to the store. And so, and of course, our name was on them, so they knew that they were separate from some of these that were the big flocks.
Mm-hmm. So you had egg cartons with your name printed on them?
I printed them. I had stamped.
Mm-hmm.
But our profit was very small, and of course that's why they had to go do it on a larger scale. Mm-hmm.
So back in the, like in the 30s, I can remember the Avery's and the Richardson's as being two big hatcheries, but there were others.
Pine Box.
That's right. I mean, they had a big hen house there.
It wasn't necessarily a hatchery problem.
No, they were the hatcheries.
That's right. Avery and that's Avery and Richardson had the hatcheries.
And Saggart's had a lot of chickens, too.
Hinderman's,
you're right about Hinderman's. Hinderman's, Bassler's. I took straw to most of them and used it and hauled the manure in. They're here for my garden crop.
And where was Bassler's?
Bassler's is the little subdivision up there.
That's Art Dunstan's place.
Between Art Dunstan's and Hinderman's.
Jane Ivack says that she would take her eggs during the Depression and drive in to Portland on the east side and go door to door. They just couldn't come.
I think Margaret Saggart, they had eggs too. Mm-hmm. And she had a delivery route.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We just had the ingredient store. Mm-hmm.
We're fortunate that a brother-in-law managed.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But before that, Hinderman's had taken ours. Wherever they took theirs, he'd pick them up once a week and take them.
That's right. And Jane Ivack told us that they would take them over to Mrs. Helenius, and she would take them in town. Mm-hmm. And then somebody else said the same thing too recently.
Somebody had a stall at the Amhill Market.
At the Amhill Market. Well, she took them in at least for Jane. And then somebody else had the same setup, but I forget who that was we talked to.
When did you get the first tractor on the farm, Ken?
After the war, I think.
You had a Caterpillar tractor, and I think you had that before we were married.
Yeah. I used that in the barn. Mm-hmm. Just a gas tractor. Mm-hmm.
And how did you retire the horses? Did you just keep the horses until they gave out, or did you?
No, we had sold them, fell across the river. Mm-hmm. I was standing here one day, and the horses got away, and they came back over, you could hear them come up over Child's Road, up over the bridge, and back home.
Really?
Oh gosh, that's a good story.
Oh my gosh, yes. You had sold to somebody else who was working them.
Down on Canal Road, down the canal Child's Road.
So horses didn't have that much of a
horse. I hear them coming. They could kind of sit.
Yeah.
Well, and then there was still one horse here. I don't know how many years. It still was that
What?
Was one big
workhorse.
Yes. Jeannie got pretty sore from riding it.
Yeah, but what kind of horses?
It was so broad.
Were they Percherons or were they big wood horses?
No, is it just a horse?
Just the gray draft horses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we talked about Clayton's 4-H work. Why don't you tell us about your 4-H work?
Well, in reality, I started in 4-H when I wasn't old enough because they had, so I did bluebirds. And the teacher at the school, we went to different homes in the evening. Well, in fact, I only remember, I guess, going one home. I can't remember going to the others, but so I started when I was 8. Mm. Even then, you were not allowed until 9, and now there's a different cutoff date. So from that time on, and then when I was in high school, I led 4-H. So my leadership started probably about my, maybe my junior year. And so then after we were married, I led down here. Of course, I stopped while I was in college and when I was working in Portland. And
well, how soon after you were married then did you start a 4-H club right away?
I had the Sherman girls the first year, mm-hmm. and some other girls up Norwood and that, and at that time you couldn't buy fabric. And my aunt worked in the department store in Seattle, and she bought fabric so that it was so soon after the war.
Yeah.
And so she bought fabric for the girls to work with.
Hmm.
And they were very poor girls. They really couldn't, I wasn't paid for some of it. And I don't remember who did or who didn't pay or what, but it was things were very difficult at that time.
Well, the Norwood girls might have been in the Norwood family. There was Raleigh up there and Brian. And
it turned out that I had, now I can't remember her first name, but she married Jack Cochran. And then she used to do beauty work. So I had enough of these that I didn't remember. They only were in that one year. And then the next year, I think, you girls began.
I remember that it was at a school program. You talked to my mother.
Oh,
it seems like it was a Christmas program. I'm not sure. Your kids wouldn't have been in school. You weren't had
no,
done yet.
But we had.
But I remember Mom coming home and saying that you had talked to your guys because you were 4-H. And I think we were just nine.
Yes, I think there were, I don't know how much between you and Tony. You were either 10.
I must have been 10.
But I had a whole lot of those who were 9. Mm-hmm. There was Tony and Barbara and Patsy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And and then you all continued for your several years, many years. And and that was very encouraging because you took your work, you did it, you took it to the fair, mm-hmm. and it completed it. And that's what I think is important. One of the important things about 4-H is not only do you start, but you finish. And as time went later, I had problems with the parents because the children would come and they didn't have anything to work with. When it's sewing and they needed material and they wouldn't have anything.
Mm-hmm.
I led until Chris was in for 10 years and so I still was leading while Ellen was in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I led 20 years. I think that was kind of my Waterloo.
Mm-hmm. Well, you taught Lila, and you just taught her really well. She sews beautiful.
She doesn't
do
really
much sewing anymore, but she sews beautiful. It's got to be completely unlike me.
Well, and it's interesting because Ellen learned to cook from Lois.
Yeah.
And Lois is the one, she is the one who taught town to cook, and I thought it would be better.
As a 4-H leader?
Yeah. As a 4-H leader, rather than for me to do it, I thought it would be better, if she would learn from someone else. Mm-hmm. And so, and by that time, I had switched, and I was teaching Sunday school. Mm-hmm. When Ellen was 4, I started Sunday school, teaching Sunday school. Mm-hmm. And so, and I did that, I don't know, about 22 years, I think, or more. Mm-hmm. But because that was when then they had a class for the 4-year-olds. Mm-hmm. And Ethel Ferris and Betty had the 4-year-olds, so then I could go in. And I felt that it was, I think it's so important for children to have other people to listen to rather than their own parents. Mm-hmm. That was, after I was teaching Sunday school, I could, I thought that was, I think they listen better to someone else. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted her to have someone else.
Now, in 4-H, you taught cooking and sewing and knitting, was it?
Knitting and canning.
Oh, mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And homemaking. Barbara did homemaking. And I can't remember, but some of the others did also. And I remember Tony and the Weaver girl. Mm-hmm. They went to state with the demonstration. That was Mrs. Weaver that really did a marvelous job with them. And I had had a leader who would write our demonstrations, so we would just learn them. And we did. I did very well demonstrating at the state level. Mm-hmm. My sewing at my last year took a blue ribbon at Chicago at the
really national.
Uh huh. Mm-hmm. And I had a dress, a wool dress and a wool coat.
And they took blue ribbons.
And blue ribbons. They went to from state. They would go to Pacific International, and from Pacific International they would go to Chicago. And what was that called? Anyway. That was the big national
one. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well,
do they still have it now?
They have.
But that was the first that they gave more than one ribbon.
Wow.
Would be, and I don't remember if they did it. I don't think it was the top. I'm saying it's not. Mm-hmm. Was not the top one at Chicago. Mm-hmm. But it was of top quality.
Yeah, right. Now, you still have the ribbon, you still have the wool coat and the suit?
I think Ellen has the coat.
Mm. And what year would that have been, do you think?
39. That was...
thinking a lot about you for our museum.
Yes, I am, yes.
It was...
I mean, I'm taking national honors.
She may have given that away, but if she did, it was not too long ago.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was, had linen tape around here, and it had linen around the hem, and it was tailored here, all tacked to a linen underfacing.
Wow.
And because you see, that was then 39 was when I started college. Mm-hmm. And so once you're in your 4-H, it used to be that once you're out of high school, I think they now can continue until 21, but if you can't continue, if you've started college, you can't continue. But like you say, that was one of the reasons to go to Oregon State, because otherwise, I probably would not have. I was quite interested in music, and I probably would have gone to Pacific University to follow the music career.
Hmm. I'm interested to know your memories of what it was like here during the war, World War II.
Of course. there was no hours. 24 hours. I knew you were 16 hours busy all the time. Hmm. But I was drafted on the 2nd of November in 41, just ahead of getting into the war, and they sent me home. So I was left with a farm. And
And
it was 4-H.
16 points. You wouldn't have to go in the service. And I think I had 80, I had 89 points that I had, and I had to have a stop for a couple of a while to work here.
Yeah.
But